Proverbs 27, verse 1, it's a text we ought to know, be able to find, certainly a text we ought to be able to quote from memory. It's a very helpful and profitable text for those occasions when we're witnessing and speaking to others about the Saviour. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In the days of the Greek Empire, there was a king called Archaeus. The sad thing was he was a very selfish man. Especially, he had no thought for the poor in his kingdom. He never once did anything or even tried to do anything to be a help and a benefit to them. The result was that the people all across the Greek kingdom in those days hated their king, and they longed, as time went past, the longing grew stronger, but they longed for the overthrow of King Archaeus. At last, a band of men came together and they plotted the assassination of the king. But because Archaeus wasn't in touch with his people, he knew absolutely nothing of what was being arranged and of the plans that were being made. But Archaeus had a friend that lived in the Greek capital of Athens, and he discovered the plot that was being made against the king. And immediately he sat down and he wrote a letter to Archaeus, and he told them clearly and in detail all that was taking place, all that was happening, the plot that was being made against him. And in the letter, he gave him the names of those that were involved in the plot. The messengers who delivered the letter, he was given strict instructions. And the instructions that he was given was that he was not to rest until the king had the letter in his hand. And whenever the messenger arrived at the royal palace, the king was holding a drunken party. And the messenger was brought in before him. And he began what he said to the king. He began by saying, "My lord, the one who sends you this letter earnestly begs you to read it at once, as it speaks of serious things." But the king was drunk, intoxicated, and he was in no mood to read letters of any kind, let alone a serious letter. He never thought for a moment that the letter that was before him contained a warning that might save his life. And he laughed, and he cast the letter to the side, and he foolishly declared these words, "Serious things tomorrow." But you know, the reality, men and women, was that for King Archaeus, his tomorrow never came. Because that night, that very night, as the king continued eating and drinking and dancing, the assassins came in to the royal palace. They ran towards him and they plunged a dagger into his breast, and the king fell on the floor to his death. Serious things tomorrow. It's not the mistake that is being made all the time in this world, in this life. Men and women are continually putting off the most important decisions of life. They put them off until tomorrow. And isn't it true, men and women, that that is especially relevant, especially true in the matter of God's salvation? Men and women know they need to be saved. They realize that fact, realize their need of Christ. There are no doubt that they need God's salvation. But they say, tomorrow. And maybe that's what you have been doing. That's the way that you have been living. Maybe up till now that has been your response until to the message of the gospel. Well, listen, men and women, to the warning of God's word. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not, think of those words, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The warning of this verse, this text, is tomorrow for you could be eternity. And that, men and women, is the title. That's our theme for the gospel meeting. We pray the Lord might write that warning upon your heart. Tomorrow for you, just as it was for this king in Greek and ancient times, tomorrow for you could be eternity. Let's think for a moment or two tonight about tomorrow. Think first of all of the mystery. The text says, "Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." There is a mystery, men and women, with regard to tomorrow. And the mystery with regard to tomorrow is, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Isn't that true? Isn't it true to say as well that man has an obsession with the future? That has always been the case. You think of King Saul. Why did King Saul go to the witch at Endor? Remember, she was the only witch that we read of in the Bible. Why was it that Saul went to the witch at Endor? Why was it? Because he wanted to know what tomorrow would bring. He wanted to know the outcome of the battle that he was going to fight with the Philistines. You see, man has always had an obsession with the future. And that still happens, of course, maybe more so in modern times. Isn't there a vast interest today in fortune-telling, tarot cards, horoscopes, reading the stars, Ouija boards, and so on? Why is there such an interest in those things, men and women? Because people want to know about the future. What will the future hold for me? What will happen tomorrow? What will happen next week? How will the future unfold? What circumstances will it bring? And especially, people want to know, will I become rich? It's not the whole idea behind fortune telling. They want to know in advance if they're going to make a fortune, if they're going to become very rich. People have a fascination about tomorrow. But you know, the reality, men and women, is we don't know what lies ahead. The text says, it states it plainly, "Thou knowest not what a day, even a day, will bring forth." Just think of that. We don't know what the rest of this day will bring, and we don't know what the next day, what tomorrow will bring. I'm sure you have plans and appointments. You might have fears and concerns for the future. But the fact, men and women, is you do not know what the future holds. You do not know what will happen even one day from now. There's many things that man does know, many things that man has been able to find out. He has made great discoveries in science and medicine and technology. There are many things man has been able to discover. But here's something man has never discovered, and he never will, men and women. Man doesn't know. There's not a single man that knows what tomorrow will bring. Think of the way that James puts it in his epistle. "Ye know not what shall be on the morrow." And I urge you to take that in. Consider it very carefully. You think you know what tomorrow will bring. You hope you know what tomorrow will bring. But the reality is you don't know. And that's the dilemma that we're all faced with, men and women. There's not a man or a woman. There's not a witch or a wizard. There's not a medium or a mystic. There's not a spiritist or a scientist. There's not a person that can tell you what lies ahead. Remember that God has told us about future events, told us about those things in the prophetical scriptures. And remember, we ought to study them carefully. Peter exhorts us that we have a more sure word of prophecy. We're on to, "Ye do well that ye take heed." We ought to study, we ought to take heed to the prophetical scriptures. But as far as your life is concerned, tomorrow is a mystery. You don't know what events will take place. God has hidden it from you. So there's the mystery, men and women. Thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. I want you to think in the second place about the mistake. The text says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. It's not a mistake that men and women often make, boasting. It's never wise to boast. But it's especially foolish, it's a great mistake to boast about tomorrow. I'm sure you have done that. Maybe did it today. Boasted about where you'll be, what you'll do tomorrow, what you'll do this week, what you'll do in the future. You think you've plenty of time. You presume you're going to live a little longer. You presume you're going to live beyond today. So you defer, you put off certain tasks, and you put off great decisions that have to be made. We sometimes call it procrastination. That's waiting, putting off, leaving until another day. It's something that is done all the time. We say, I'll do it tomorrow. It's not a common response, men and women. But can I say to you tonight, when it comes to salvation, there's nothing more foolish. Nothing more foolish. You know that you need to be saved, and you intend to be saved, but you say, not now, not today, not at this moment. And I want to warn you, men and women, if that's the way that you're thinking, it's a mistake, and it's a very serious mistake. There's at least three reasons why it's a mistake to think that you can be saved tomorrow or saved in the future. For one thing, you may not live until tomorrow. Just take that in. You may not live to see tomorrow dawn. Regardless of what your age is, regardless of what condition your health is in, you may not live until tomorrow. Billy Sunday, before he was converted, remember, he was a famous baseball player. He had a teammate that was called Frank Flint. And when Frank was dying, the doctor examined him, and he declared to the family, he'll not live long, and you need to go and tell him. His wife had a dilemma. She didn't know what to say, didn't know how to break the news, didn't know how to tell Frank he hadn't long to live. She thought about it carefully, and this is the way she put it. She used a sporting analogy. She said, Frank, it's not long until the umpire calls you out. And that's how it is with you as well, men and women. Not going to live very long. It'll not be long until you're called out and until your life is over. Remember, death can come very suddenly. Do you remember what the psalmist said? In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. You see the change, men and women, that just a day can bring in your life. The morning it flourisheth. In other words, it's strong and good health. But in the evening, cut down, taken away. Death can be sudden. Death can be unexpected. Walter Scott, on the day before he died, Walter Scott was a very famous Scottish writer. On the day before he died, he was writing in his diary. And he started a sentence by saying, tomorrow we shall. He was making plans for the next day. But he never finished the sentence, because tomorrow he was dead and in eternity. And remember, the same could happen to you. You might be making all sorts of plans for tomorrow, but remember, you may not live long enough to see it. Another reason why it's a foolish mistake to think you can be saved in the future is because God may not speak to you tomorrow. You think of what the psalmist said, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. You consider the silence of God. It's not a sobering thing, men and women, that you would no longer hear the voice of God speaking to your heart, calling you to Himself in salvation. You need to realize tonight that God can stop speaking to a person, and God may stop speaking to you. What will happen then? Well, the verse is clear. They go down to the pit. In other words, they're damned. I want to stress to you, men and women, tonight, you cannot be saved when you want. You cannot be saved when you like or when you choose. You can only be saved when God is speaking. And the reality is, God can speak for the last time. Maybe that'll happen to some soul in this gospel meeting. There is such a thing as the final call, the final invitation, and the final gospel opportunity. Aaron Burr was the third vice president of the United States of America. He was a grandson of the famous preacher Jonathan Edwards. And when Aaron Burr was a young man, he studied at the famous Princeton University. In the days when he was studying there, there was a great revival that was sweeping through the country and sweeping through that region where Princeton was situated as well. And in those revival meetings, Aaron Burr was challenged. He was concerned about his soul. So much so that he went to speak with the president of the university. And he asked him his advice about spiritual things. And he asked him his advice about his soul. You know what the president of the university told him? Wait until all the excitement of the revival is over. And then think things through carefully. That was foolish advice, men and women. Burr thought of it for a moment or two, and he said, that's what I'll do. Do you know the result, men and women? He never again expressed a desire or a concern about a soul or about the things of God. What happened? What happened in his life? God stopped speaking to him. God was silent unto him. And that young man never was saved, never was converted. And I say to you tonight, men and women, if you're not careful, the same will happen to you. Remember, let me emphasize it, God may not speak again to you tomorrow. There's another reason. You may not live to tomorrow. God may not speak to you tomorrow. There's another reason why it's a mistake to put off getting saved to the future. And that's because your heart will be harder tomorrow. Do you remember what the book of Hebrews says? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Do you know there's two choices you have tonight? Two choices as you sit in the meeting. Two choices as you think of the response you'll give to the gospel invitation. I've alliterated them for you. The two choices are these. Either you'll hear his voice, or you'll harden your heart. And I wonder which it will be. Can I stress to you, men and women, that every day you wait, every day you linger, every day you put off the matter of coming to Christ, your heart gets harder. You think of Pharaoh and the plague of frogs, and he said to Moses, take them away. And he said to Moses, take them away tomorrow. Well, think of this, men and women. What was Pharaoh's spiritual condition tomorrow? Did he repent? Did he humble himself before God? No, his spiritual condition was this. He hardened himself against the Lord. And for you, it will be the same. Tomorrow, your heart will be harder toward God and the things of the gospel than it is today. Tomorrow, you'll have less interest in spiritual things than you do today. You know, many have the idea, maybe you're one of them, they have the idea it'll be easier to be saved tomorrow. It'll be easier to repent, easier to confess Christ, easier to live the Christian life tomorrow. That's a mistake. It's the devil's lie. You think of Felix, the Bible says he trembled. He was troubled about his soul. His reply to Paul was, some more convenient time. What he's saying there is, Paul, there'll be a better time. There'll be an easier time. There'll be a more suitable time to come to Christ. But it's a mistake. It's a lie, men and women. Can I tell you something very important tonight? It doesn't get easier to get saved. It doesn't, as the time goes by. It gets harder. And the reason it gets harder is because your heart gets harder towards the Word of God and towards the gospel message. It's a mistake, men and women, to think that you can be saved tomorrow. On the night of the great Chicago fire, remember Mr. Moody and his church? They preached on the text, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And he said to the people at the end of the meeting, he sent them away to think about the message. And he said, "Next week, next Sunday night, I'm going to ask you, what will you do?" He was going to apply it, going to drive it home personally to the hearts of men and women. What will you do with Jesus? But you know, that very night, many perished in the Chicago fire. Mr. Moody said it was the greatest mistake of his life, the greatest mistake of his ministry, to send those souls out of that meeting without impressing upon them the need to come to Christ that very night. And I tell you, men and women, if you're unsaved, the greatest mistake of your life is to put off until tomorrow the salvation of your soul. Can I say to you, heed the warning. Boast not thyself. It's a mistake, a grave mistake, to boast about tomorrow. The mystery, the mistake. One other thing. Think of the message. What is the message of this text, men and women? What is God saying to you tonight, especially if you're without the Savior? The message is this. You need to be saved. And you need to be saved today, in this meeting, at this very time. You think of it. If you're not saved, to boast of tomorrow, why? It's because you need to act today, men and women. That's really what the Lord's saying. That's the Lord's message to your heart. You need to act today. Tomorrow has not come. Tomorrow's not yours. It's not in your hands. And therefore what you must do is make use of today. Make use of the time you have. Make use of the time that you're sure of. It's vital, men and women, you attend to serious things, to the things of your soul, and attend to them at once, at this very moment. You think of Lot. Do you remember it says that they lingered whenever the angels were bringing them out of Sodom? They lingered. Imagine that. Imagine the folly, men and women. They were in danger. Judgment was about to fall. The fires of God's wrath were almost descending upon the city. And still they delayed. Still they held back. I wonder, is that what you have been doing? Lingering, halting between two opinions. Do you remember the words of the angels to Lot and his family that day? He said, "Haste thee, escape thither." And that's God's message to your heart tonight as well, men and women. Haste thee. You've lingered. You've delayed long enough. And now what you need to do is to hurry. Because if you don't, you'll be doomed. You'll be lost for all eternity. You know, it's interesting, when we preach the gospel, we often use the word urgent, the urgency of the message. There is great urgency. But the word urgent is only found twice in the Bible. One of those references is to do with the fiery furnace, Daniel chapter 3. It says in the book of Daniel, the king's commandment was urgent. And men and women, this commandment comes from a greater king. This business that we're talking about, the saving of your soul, it's urgent. There's no time to spare. There's absolutely no time for delay. Do you remember the words of Hosea? It is time to seek the Lord. Not it will be in the future. It is. Now is the time for you to be saved. Think of what Joshua said, his final address to the children of Israel, choose ye this day. And that's what's needed, men and women. You need to make the choice. You need to make the decision this day, this very night, in this very meeting. Don't wait any longer. Don't even wait another moment. Alexander the Great was once asked, how did you conquer the world? The answer that he gave was, by not delaying. And I ask you to think tonight, men and women, how will you obtain forgiveness of all your sins? How will you find a place in heaven? Well, the answer is exactly the same. By not delaying. Men and women, don't delay coming to Christ. Don't delay the matter of getting saved. There's danger, there's death in delay. You think of Archaeus' words, serious things tomorrow. What folly that is, men and women. I warn you tonight, as a close, don't put off until tomorrow what you can do, what you ought to do, what you must do today. I appeal to you, men and women, one and all in this meeting, you need to do it now. You need to be saved this very day. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. May the Lord use his word tonight to his own glory. 200